This is Chaos and Coffee with the Rock on of Podcasting, Charles McFall.
Yo, hey, I am the Rock on of Podcasting, Charles McFall. It is Chaos and Coffee, the Friday edition. I am here to tell you about the headlines, give you something to talk about over the weekend, and hopefully keep you kind of up to date on everything that's going on. Now, if you want politics, you got your talk radio, you got all the other stuff going on. I'm trying to find the stories that maybe some people miss, or you know what, give you a different perspective on why things go down, because obviously last week I did tackle the RNC and some of the ridiculousness with Fox News. I gotta say, this time with the DNC, I did not see really any craziness come out. I know there's been some controversy over some of the things that they've done, and I could go into a very divisive commentary on some of the stuff that's there, but I'd rather find stories that makes me happy, that makes me want to talk about things. Now, it might get me angry, right? It might get me riled up. It might give you something to get mad about, but politics just make me angry, period. I don't like it. I want to stay away from it. So I found a couple of some things that are better, more attractive, more entertaining for me, in my own personal opinion. So, like to hit, here it go. Six more Michigan employees charged with misconduct in the Flint water crisis. Now, as this pulls up, this link pulls up, all links are going to be found at blogtalkradio.com/chaosandcoffee. I do put those in the show notes. If I think about it, I get it shared on Facebook. You can find it on facebook.com/chaosandcoffee. But here's something to remember about Flint. This is still going on. The last thing I read, which was not this week, it was a week or two ago, the last thing I read is they still don't have a new source of clean water for Flint, Michigan. So even though this crisis happened months ago, right? It happened months ago, and everybody came together and different charities have been sending in bottled water and those kind of things. It's still going on, and we're not talking about it anymore. We're talking about the shootings that are going on. We're talking about this crazy-ass election thing that we have going on. And I call it an election thing because it's a thing, man. It's a circus. It's crazy. I can't say there's a better country to live in. I can't say there's a better system to be under. What I can say is I wish this would just go away. I wish we could be adults and handle things in styles of adults. Perhaps even go back to the whole idea behind voting of, okay, we have this group of people, let majority rules, right? And it doesn't seem to be the way anymore. It's just all this campaigning and lying and manipulation and stuff we don't know. And where's my coffee? Well, I don't have coffee today. Today I have some Mountain Dew, so let's do that. Mountain Dew, baby. All right, so Flint, Michigan. It's not being talked about anymore, but thank God some criminal charges are coming down. I hope these are criminal charges. This is from the Washington Post today, Friday, July 29th. It is updated about 1 o'clock this afternoon. Six Michigan employees were charged Friday with misconduct in office for their alleged roles in the lead. I'm a dummy. In the lead contamination of Flint's water supply, which has exposed thousands of children to the toxins and left most city residents drinking bottled water for more than 2 years. Wow, my brain is way off. I said months ago, 2 years ago, this happened. What? No. What? No. It just came to light, though. It just came to light, right, a couple of months ago. It just came to light a couple of months ago because I remember it's a lot more current than that for donating water and support. So I think it's been going on for 2 years. 2 years ago is when they switched the water supply, but we, the world, became aware of the problems only a few months ago. Okay. That's what I think I remember, right? So this is a discussion show, right? I'm not Walter Cronkite bringing you the headlines. I am Charles, the Rock God of Podcasting McFall, bringing you stuff to talk about and discuss and trying to keep you updated on new things that are happening right now. This is happening right now. Six Michigan employees were charged today. Attorney General Bill Schuette filed the charges against three employees of the state's Department of Health and Human Services and three others from the State Department of Environmental Quality, including the former chief of Michigan's Office of Drinking Water and Municipal Assistance. Thank you. Because when this kind of fallout happens, I presume they were trying to save money for the state, whoever is responsible for paying for the water. Here's what you don't understand about water. It's not just, I live in a place called Rockdale County, okay? So I'm going to use that for reference. It's not just, Rockdale County has a water supply, and every citizen out of it gets water out of their taps because of all the waterworks and things that go into this water supply. It's not just that. Water, man, water is super valuable, and counties have to contact other counties and negotiate rates and fees and usage privileges, and it can get ugly, and it can be power for governments and government officials. I had the unfortunate experience of being around a small county who did not have their own water reserve, or if they did, it wasn't big enough, so they were having to negotiate with other counties close by, and it got ugly. It got ugly because human beings suck, man. We do. We come down to, what can I get for me? I deserve this. Especially when you start talking about basics about water and showering. That's a modern convenience, and we lose sight of this. Should everybody have water? Sure, man. Then why aren't we supporting more third world countries getting clean, fresh water? Oh, sorry. Did I just step on something there? My bad. But when you start fighting as a government here in the United States about where the water comes from, it's bad. So I'm assuming, because I didn't at the time did not go dig into every single detail about Flint, Michigan, but from what I know about negotiation of water rights and water usage, I am assuming that whoever did this for Flint, whoever's in charge of making sure water was in Flint, Michigan, either tried to save money by negotiating a different take on it, or, seriously, I'm not being conspiratorial, or they either got favors or kickbacks to handle this. Because when you do something as large as lead poisoning an entire community, right? I don't know the population of Flint, Michigan, but it's a huge community. I mean, the community I was in that was fighting over water was 14,000 people in that county at that time. So Flint, Michigan could be bigger, could be smaller, but you're talking about thousands of people. That's power, man. That's favors. People want favors. They want money. Or they just wanted to save money for the, I don't know why. I don't know the why. But when you make such a horrible decision that kills people, that maims people, that poisons people, you need to go to jail. The filings bring the number of government workers accused in the water crisis to 9. Chouette, who is overseeing the probe, filed charges in April against 2 other departments of environmental quality workers and a Flint water quality supervisor. He also filed charges in June against 2 engineering firms that allegedly botched their work on the water supply system, contributing to the crisis. These individuals concealed the truth, Chouette said in a morning news conference. They were criminally wrong to do so. God bless you, man. Thank you. Somebody is holding somebody responsible. You're being held responsible. These things get swept under the rug too many times. I didn't even know, and this is something I've been following since we found out about it, because of such the scale of tragedy that's here by these decisions that were made. I didn't even know in April charges had been filed. I didn't know in June charges had been filed. This is the first that has come across my radar that charges have been filed. Oh, because that doesn't make headline news. Because we want to talk about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and all the ugliness that goes with all that. We'd rather talk about, not that this absolutely needs to be talked about, but we'd rather only talk about the killings that are going on. Preferably, it seems like, in the American society, it's better to talk about it if white cops are killing black guys and not any other way around. Now, yeah, when the 2 assassination attempts happened, when the Dallas assassination is not the word, it was an ambush happened in Dallas, and then another one happened in New Orleans? I forget now. But those were ambushes set up and cops died. Yeah, those made the news. But we can't get peaceful things to make the news. We can't talk about what's going on with people helping other people. We only can talk about divisive stuff. And, oh, well, Flint, Michigan was so 6 months ago, so we're not going to talk about them being charged. It's not going to make the major news. That's why I bring it to you here. I'm so grateful that they're being held responsible. So I'm scanning through this article from the Washington Post. Flint water crisis reveals government failures at every level. Man, this sucks. April 2014, with the city under control of an emergency manager appointed by Governor Rick Snyder, officials switched to Flint water to save money. See, there it is. I knew, because I know the way these politics work, I knew that had to be part of the case. Typically, you don't swap if you're getting a good deal. You only swap because you have to, because they're making it worse to work with, or somebody's going to rub your back, you know, put some money in your pocket, those kind of things. And when you're talking about an emergency manager, that means the city manager. Cities are run like businesses, and counties are too. You have a county manager, you'll have a city manager. These are people who run the business of the city. And that means that either the city manager had quit or been fired, and the emergency manager, somebody still has to run this place while we appoint a new manager. And I don't think you can elect a manager to the city. I may be incorrect. I'm pretty sure it's appointed only. So this was an emergency manager, and he had to make this decision. I don't know how much responsibility he had. But this, going back to the article, but the state's Environmental Quality Agency failed. The state of Michigan failed to ensure that corrosion control additives were part of the new water supply, which allowed lead and other substances such as iron to leach from aging pipes. It says Flint switched back to its previous water source last fall, but most people are still drinking bottled water. I've heard that. Now, here's the way it was presented to me, was they still had to use bottled water for showers, for drinking, for those kind of things. Perhaps they're just being overly cautious. This article so far does not tackle the why of the bottled water, but apparently it did get a different supply. But last fall, so this started 2 years ago. We found out about it, I'm guessing, 6 months ago? I don't remember exactly when it came down. So last fall, they went back to their previous water source. But there's still so much fallout from this. The Health and Human Services employees Nancy Peeler, Robert Scott, and Corrine Miller all face charges of misconduct in office, conspiring to commit misconduct in office and willfully neglect of duty, according to Schuette. They allegedly hid or disregarded test results that showed high lead levels in the Flint residents' blood. Come on! Health and Human Services is not tied to the water department. They are there to serve the community and make sure diseases don't spread and make sure that the community's health is number one. That is their job. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about Health and Human Services. They're not dealing with the upper crust of Flint, Michigan. Now, they'll get reports from the hospitals, I'm sure. But that department themselves, they see the poor and then impoverished. That's where you go when you have Medicaid for children, when you have what's called Women and Infants, WIC is Women, Infant, and Children, and it's for poor people, or for people who can't afford health care. Let me rephrase. It's for lower income families to get good health care prenatal, to make sure toddlers get good health care, and it's direct monitoring. You have to go there to get your checks, to get your free milk and your cheese and your vegetables and your fruit, the stuff that makes kids healthy. That's where you get the checks from, but you literally have to go, and you get iron checks, and they do physical health checks. So for that department to willfully overlook and hide results means they disregarded low-income lives, because that's where the majority of the information is going to come from. Rot in jail. That's what I got to say. Rot in jail. little bit more here. Schechter Smith, the former top drinking water official, and current officials Patrick Cook and Adam Rosenthal were charged with misconduct in office-related federal regulations that limit lead in drinking water. Rosenthal is accused of tampering with evidence to conceal lead levels in water. Cook allegedly forwarded false information to the federal EPA. Come on! What is going on in Flint, Michigan that it took all these different departments, falsified reports and hid evidence and lied? The city manager is a city manager. The Health and Human Services is funded by the state government, if not the federal government. So they're a whole separate thing. And now you have drinking water officials that may or may not report to the city manager. I'm not sure where that falls in the whole governmental everything, but they're different departments. Come on. Man. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about this trial. I'm looking forward to hearing if justice is going to be done. More than likely, my cynical nature in this case says, no, it's not. We're not going to get justice. We're going to get really good lawyers. We're going to get slapped on the wrist. And these people that were affected, these citizens of Flint, Michigan, that were affected are going to be left to hang in the wind. That sucks. All right, if you'd like to suggest your own news stories, your own commentary, if you'd like to just give feedback to the show, I'd love to hear from you. BearCrawling@gmail.com is where you can do that. I would like to hear from you. Here's a more upbeat, actually, this is where human beings can be awesome story. Now, I got to say, anytime somebody mentions the Ice Bucket Challenge, I roll my eyes. Because on the surface, most people did not understand what the point was. Most people, it seemed like, just thought it was funny to get ice poured on them. And it's so stupid. It went so, so hive mindset stupid. It did. It just, you don't get it. The challenge was you either pay money in or you dump ice over yourself. And so many people just dumped ice. Some people paid in as well as dumping ice. But the heroes are the ones that actually gave money to the cause, right? The research ALS. So here's a nice human beings, even though human beings can do it really, really in a dumb way, and it takes a life of its own. It's like, really? Really? You just think it's cute to put on a white tank top because you have a big chest and pour ice over your head, and oh, look. Oh, no. You can see through your shirt. I saw too many stupid versions of this to be happy about the Ice Bucket Challenge. However, let me get back to my happy spot. Washington AP. This is off of Eyewitness News 3, WFSB.com. And actually, this was sent to me by Amy Domestico at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Amy, for submitting this headline. This is cool. Social media has really helped change the world. ALS-related gene found with help from the Ice Bucket Challenge. So from the Washington AP, ALS Association is crediting money raised through the Ice Bucket Challenge for the discovery of a gene's connection to the progressive disease. Those who accepted the challenge allowed buckets of ice water to be dumped on their heads to raise awareness and money for ALS. I would say that's how it started. I got to argue with this. I would say that's how it started is, okay, I'm not going to pay in money. I'm going to put out a video of cold ice water being dumped on me. It's going to be hilarious, and it's going to raise awareness for ALS. And it did raise some awareness for ALS. At some point, that marker was passed, and it just became the stupid thing to do. The money is what's important. Awareness is important. Money was more important. Here we go back to the story. The challenge became a viral sensation in 2014 and raised $115 million for the association. Figures from the ALS Association show that 1 million of that helped fund a global effort to help find genetic drivers of the condition called Project Mine. All right, so follow that. They associate $115 million to this challenge raised. I'm not sure how you separate that out exactly, but awareness helped, I'm sure. And $1 million directly from that went to this Project Mine. The ALS Association says a paper published this week in the journal Nature Genetics reveals Project Mine researchers have identified the NEK1 gene's connection to ALS. It says understanding the gene's role will help in developing new target therapy for ALS. That is good news. That makes me happier to be a human being, that even though people can do stupid things, good things can still come of it, and money was raised, and lives hopefully will be changed. They were able to narrow down a gene that they were looking for. They were narrowed down. Then they're going to be able to narrow down the cure, the treatment, as it were. Maybe not a cure, but definitely more treatment. This is Lou Gehrig's disease, by the way, which has zero cure. And I don't think it has any treatment. They've been researching it for a long time. And now, with the help of idiots on the internet, they raised a good amount of money. And kudos, human beings. That's awesome. And I'm glad that we were able to make a difference collectively. All right, right now, speaking of raising some money, I've got to go pay some bills as well. I've got my sponsors coming in here. Please listen to the sponsors and stick around. I definitely have a story about hamburgers in England, and then possibly, quite possibly, if I have time, I might not, probably won't have time, actually, but Oregon, man, Oregon's doing some fun new stuff, so stick around after the ads. I'll be right back with more Chaos and Coffee. And I'm back now. What is that? Aerosmith. I'm back in the saddle again. Yeah, so I'm not a rock star. I'm just a rock guy of podcasting. So here we go. Straight out of the UK. This is from TheGuardian.com. It was a fake meeting, Byron Hamburger Staff on immigration raid. So Byron is a hamburger restaurant. I'm sure it's a chain. That's what it sounds like in England. And this is a universal discussion about immigration and how it works. But here's the story. Staff at Byron Hamburgers restaurants have told how the company tracked kitchen staff in an immigration sting by calling for a meeting about cooking burgers. In the first insider accounts of the swoop on foreign workers in one of Britain's most popular burger chains, one worker said they were summoned to a meeting about the dangers of medium and medium rare cooking burgers. This is strange. This is a quote. This is strange because we already had this training, said the worker who has already been deported. A chef at a different branch in central London said they were told the meeting was about a new burger recipe. The targeting of staff at a dozen Byron restaurants in London was part of a carefully planned intelligence-led raid by the Home Office, which, according to insiders, involved between four and a dozen officers at each branch. One of the kitchen staff said she arrived for the meeting at 9:38 a.m., but within minutes, four immigration officers burst into the building. They said, "Nobody move. We're immigration. Stay where you are." And then they started calling out names and took the people that they were looking for aside. Now, this went on for several hours. There was interrogations. I'm kind of scanning through it now. See, here's the gist. There's two tones to this story. First is the reporting, but then all the quotes are the staff who are like, "I don't understand why you would do this. This is," one person said, "it feels like it must have been in the 1930s or something," said a worker who, like all the staff the Guardian has spoken to, requested anonymity. But they were freaking out. "I can't believe we'd get raided. Why would you do this? They work 50 to 70 hours a week for minimum wage. They're good people." They are good people. I am of the mindset that, yeah, just because you're illegal doesn't mean you're a bad person. They are good people, and a lot of illegal aliens in all countries can work very, very, very hard, and they do get treated poorly by getting minimum wage and having long hours. That is a problem. That's not why they get kicked out of the country. They get kicked out of the country because they are illegal, and that's the problem. Are there problems becoming legal? I can only talk about the U.S., and I don't know the process very well in the U.S. I was born here, so I didn't have to go through it. Perhaps there are. Perhaps there's a lot of issues becoming legal, and it takes time. It's the government, at least in the U.S., it's the government. Man, everything takes time. It's bloated. It's long. It's not a good process. I don't know what the process is in London, or in England, rather, in the U.K., but it's illegal. And so I want to scan back through this more. So they did say they were actually treated well by the officers, the immigration officers. Everybody was nice. Another staff member told how one worker was taken away in handcuffs after objecting to his arrest. Well, okay. You're sent out of the country. You're technically being arrested. You're going to be handcuffed. I mean, shut up. The Home Office has confirmed, this is in the UK, the Home Office is, I guess, the central government area. I'm sure if you're in the UK listening to this story, you're mocking me harshly, and I understand. That's fine. Go right ahead. But the Home Office has confirmed that 35 nationals from Brazil, Nepal, Egypt, and Albania were among those arrested following the raid, which took place across London on the morning of 4th of July. The government has not confirmed how many were deported, but one chef interviewed by The Guardian said around 20 were taken to their first holding point after the raid. They had a list of names and some photos, which presumably they got from human resources in the head office. Now, see, that's somebody assuming, because that's just a worker. We don't know where they got it exactly. We do know that Byron called the meeting and set up, you know, set the employees up for the raid. But here's the thing. It's their legal duty. Now, they were breaking the law. Byron was breaking the law by hiring illegal workers, undocumented workers, to work in their restaurants. So I want to jump down to the end of this. I'm running out of time. Don't care about health. Now, one worker was paid roughly £10 an hour, and before that was $12 to $14 an hour, I think. I'm not sure where the dollar relates to the pound right now with Brexit and everything, the aftermath there. And he worked for 2 years there doing 50 to 70 hours a week. That's a hard life, and that sucks. And that's not a lot of money, no matter how you cut it, per hour. But 2 years, where were you in the process of getting legal? Did you ever try to get legal? The only thing you did wrong, was not get documentation and become a legal worker. That's it. It sucks that you were going along, living your life, being a good citizen for the most part. I say for the most part, you're still illegal. But that on the surface, you're being this good citizen. You're working hard. You're doing your job. 2 years at a hamburger place. That's solid. Man, that's solid. Maybe because you can't get another job because you're illegal. I don't know. It sucks. It does. But you're illegal. And that's the bottom line. So staff said managers felt betrayed by the company as they've been told to organize the meetings. It feels like they used us to shop staff, people who have become our friends over the last few years. I understand that they were trying to avoid a fine, but they shouldn't be using their staff to do the Home Office's dirty work. So the way the rest of this story reads to me is that the Home Office had found some proof of illegal workers, right? That they had something on them. They went to the main corporate office of Byron and said, hey, this is what's going on. And what is Byron going to do as a company? What they have to do is, one, they're going to have to redo their whole entire hiring process, right? Because they got caught with their pants down by having illegals all throughout their chains. I mean, you're talking about a lot of people. 30 right now of this reporting had been arrested that were undocumented, right? So you have them facing this. Now, tougher sanctions on employers hiring illegal non-EU staff were introduced in the Immigration Act of 2016, increasing the maximum custodial sentence on indictment from 2 to 5 years. It also, that means the CEOs, the directors of human resources, the managers in the store who hire them can go to jail for 2 to 5 years. It also introduced powers to close premises for up to 48 hours in addition to heavy fines. So this is what the corporate office is facing. Now, in a statement on Wednesday, Byron said the Home Office acknowledged that it had complied with its legal responsibilities as an employer, but the company had been shown false/counterfeit documentation by those at the center of the alleged immigration breaches. So what the company is saying is that they had documentation on every worker. They were just false documents. The Home Office is saying the corporation was shown proof that there are illegal workers inside of their restaurants working for that company. And so the company had to comply. It's a huge chain in England, perhaps throughout the EU. What do you think McDonald's would do if any government, because McDonald's is all over the world, any government came to them and said, hey, you've got undocumented workers, they will comply because corporations can only make money if they're legally allowed to. And that's my point here is this half this article is about they're such good people. I represented my country well. I'm sure you did. Let's say you were one of the ones from Egypt. I'm sure you did represent Egypt well. You showed how you were a good worker, a hard worker. You just were not legal. I don't know if any of these people were in the process. I don't know if you're in the process, if you can be deported. I the only experience I've ever had close to this was somebody I worked with at an office before. Her husband was on a visa, so he's not illegal, right? He's legally here on a visa. He was trying to become a citizen. And at that point, the last time I talked to her, which was years ago, and she's since divorced him and is with somebody else now, but years ago, they were going through the process. So being the curious mind that I am, I was asking her about the process. And it cost, at the time, it was costing them like $2,000 to go through all the different things they have to go through and filing all the paperwork. And you need a lawyer, you know, or an advocate, somebody who knows how to get you through the paperwork. For a little while, he had to go back to Mexico for a couple of weeks, not being able to work, of course, and earn. Well, I guess he could have worked there, but not being able to work in the U.S. So he loses his job because he had to. It's part of the process is he had to go back to his home country for a certain amount of time, and then he could be let back in. And it was weird. I didn't get all the details, obviously, and I don't remember some of it. But they've been going through that process for over 2 years of getting him. Legally, permanently, what is it called when you become a citizen? I don't remember. Absorbed in the U.S. And she was 100% born in the U.S. They had dated for a while. They got married. And at no point was he illegal. He was always visa'd in, right? So he could have jobs. And she, of course, worked a full-time job and was doing fine. I don't know what ended up doing with her breakup, but he ended up being rejected as, no, we're not going to let you become a citizen. Don't know why. Don't know the process. I just know what little I saw was very hard to go through, very difficult. She had to take time off of work to go with him to downtown Atlanta to some offices to swear to stuff, to have interviews, to go through these all these processes. It can't be easy. But I do know while he was in the process, he got pulled over for drunk in public, or I don't know if he was drunk driving. I don't want to speak juju on him. That wasn't true. But he got in trouble with the law, and all that happened to him was he got in trouble for what he got in trouble for because he was visa'd, because he's in the process. There was no threat of deportation. There was no concern of his to be detained and kicked out of the country. That's all I'm saying is this is a story that is interesting. It's interesting how the company Byron handled it, right, by calling a staff mandatory staff meeting for the kitchen staff. And then I don't know how much of the front staff was affected, but this is mostly about the kitchen staff. But 30 to 35, as of this reporting, which was yesterday, Thursday, this is when this was released. So people, I'm just saying, forget the talk about the wall. Forget the talk about all of this other stuff. When you talk about deportation, when people are like, oh, they're taking our jobs. Really, the last time I checked for any job I applied for, there was no illegals trying to get that job. You really want to go fight an illegal to take on these crappy jobs that'll pay minimum wage or less with horrible working conditions? You know, I'm thinking about the migrant workers who work in Florida. I'm sure some of them are treated well, but you're talking about picking oranges in the heat of the sun. I mean, the heat of the freaking afternoon in Florida in the middle of summer, or I'm not an agriculturist or farmer. You see, I'm just trying to paint a picture of it's stuff I don't want to do. In Georgia, we grow cotton and we grow peanuts. We grow peaches. We grow pecans. I don't want to pick up any of that stuff ever for any reason. I'd rather somebody else do it. Does that mean illegal workers? And all I'm saying is they're not taking my job. I don't want that job. They can have that job. More power to them. But here's the answer for me. And here's the discussion point for you. How do we solve the problem of immigration, right? Now, immigration is not the problem. Illegal immigration is the problem. How do we solve that? Well, Donald Trump wants to put up a wall. Well, some people call for stricter regulations. Some people want to welcome everybody with open arms. You know, some people... There's millions of answers. And I can't say there's one right one, but I can say the biggest complaint is a tax burden on our economy and on our government, right? Because some illegals do get government benefits. Don't exactly know why. It depends on the situation. It happens. So my suggested proposed answer is the what I understand to be the fair tax, which is, in short, don't argue with me about the ins and outs of fair tax, and I don't want to hear it. I'm saying this. If we got rid of income tax 100% across the board, and every last person who bought anything in the U.S. paid a flat tax, right? I don't care about the numbers. You can make up the numbers. I heard at one point a long time ago, 17%. If everybody is paying 17% tax on everything, then illegals are paying taxes to our government. Illegal activity such as selling drugs and everything else that you can do. Okay, so even if you're a good contractor and a good person and an American citizen, and you take money, what's called money under the table, but you take cash for a job instead of a trackable check or a reportable credit transaction, anything like that, and you don't report that cash, that's illegal too. But guess what? The reason it's illegal is because you're not paying taxes on it. So guess what? It's no longer illegal to just get cash jobs, because then when you go spend your money with this flat tax, fair tax, whatever you want to call it, you're paying the same tax rate. You buy a TV, you buy a toothbrush, doesn't matter. You're paying taxes, and that's how I think we solve a lot of the negative ugliness of illegal immigration. That's my thoughts for today. I would love to hear what you think about that. Facebook.com/chaosandcoffee. You can put some comments there. Follow me at facebook.com/rockgodofpodcasting. Twitter's at rockgodofpod. Email is bearcrawling@gmail.com. I will be back on Monday with some more chaos and coffee. Go tell your friends. Go support the sponsors. Go out and let's spread the word. And let's get this out there. Let's get talking.